Praise the Lord. As you know, we've been working on the pillars of the Christian life. All right? Now, we're born again. We're saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is indeed the grace of God that calls us out of darkness, loves us in the middle of that, and exposes light to us. Our job as Christian is to have some standards or pillars in our life. And I've got a list of some, and we're working through them. Y'all have seen this every week, and you'll see it every week for a long time, because it's going to take more than just a week or two to get through this. We spent a couple weeks on salvation. You need to know if you're born again, and there's ways to know that you're born again. First of all, do you hear the voice of God? Do you have a heart to read, study, and pray? Do you have a desire for fellowship? All of those are clues and evidences of being born again. All right? It's more than just a prayer. It's a lifestyle that we desire more than what we consider reality in this life. That's a real evidence of salvation. We need to have an active and fervent prayer life. All right, we talked about that for the next 2 weeks, prayer and prayer life and how we ought to enter in. Then last week we started study, how God wants us to study and why he wants us to study, and not just study anything, but study his word. If we need to know anything about this world, about science, about math, about the truth, we need to study something that is truthful. You don't need to study about things that aren't truthful. Here's something that's not a truth that a lot of us were forced to study. It took a million gazillion years to make this earth. And you came from a monkey. Okay? Those are lies. But you can study a long time into that. And if you get into that, they will convince you that you are a monkey's uncle. But if you study the Word of God, you will find out that you were fearfully made in the image of the Most High God, that he breathed into you, you know, that you were not a mistake, that God planned for you. And so that all comes from study. Studying the Word of God is to make us approved unto God, that the workmen need not be ashamed. I need to study the Word of God, not for your benefit, but for my benefit with God. As I study the Word of God, it draws me into a deeper, richer relationship with the God who spoke the universe into existence. So that's why we need to study. That's what God says. And in that, there's some benefits. And today we're going to talk about the blessings of studying God's Word. Do you know if you study God's Word, you will be blessed?
Amen.
Amen. This morning's study in Sunday school, Bible study, was in depth. I love it. Judy said she was so blessed. We went through literally hundreds of scripture. Okay? And it wasn't just from our teacher.
Right.
It was from the Holy Spirit and you and you and you and you and you. We opened the Bible and we read and we saw how God is at work in the living Word of God, making us, helping us to understand the depth of the Passover and the unleavened bread and the first fruits. We only went through that a little bit today. It took 2 hours, but we only, really and truly, we only scratched the surface. One thing about studying the Word of God, the deeper you go, you will find out the deeper it is. You will not exhaust the study of God's Word. The Lord has commanded us, or expects us, really commanded and expected. He desires, because he wants you to know him, he desires us to dig a little deeper. He put clues and mysteries and questions and left some things in there that you need to study to know what they mean. I'm glad he just didn't lay it out simple. He laid it out in depth, in layers, and in richness. And the more we study it, the more we look into it, the richer our understanding and of holiness, of righteousness, of God becomes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask a blessing on this sermon. Father, we thank you for this teaching. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you have asked us, invited us in, And you invited us in, Lord, that we could just simply be blessed, be made joyful in the knowing of the Most High God, the all-powerful one, Elohim. Father, we thank you for even giving us permission to understand the least about you. Father, that someday we might really know you and have that eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask a blessing on the teaching today, Lord Jesus, that as I speak, I would reduce to nothing, but your word would be expounded greatly. Father, I pray that you would speak to your people here today, those who are born again, washed in the blood, that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Open their ears and their hearts and their minds that they might hear what the Spirit has to say to them today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 111, 105, and 106 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." 106 says, "I have sworn and I will perform it. I will keep thy righteous judgments." Okay, look at what the psalmist wrote right there. How great that is. It's Psalm 119, verse 105 and 106. Whose word is a lamp? God's word. God's word is a lamp. What do you need a lamp for? What does a lamp do? Amen. It pierces darkness. You can see by it. And it is a lamp unto my feet. Why do I need a lamp in my feet as I walk in the darkness? Amen. And so we don't trip. So we don't fall. So we don't get on the wrong path. So this tells me a couple things right here. God's word is a lamp, a lighting to the way I walk. How do I know what's righteous? Through God's word. How do I know what God expects? Through his word. How do I know that there is a God? Well, there's several things that tells you that. There's the whole of creation lets you know that there's a God. But his word affirms that. His word shows that. All right, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Now let me ask you this. Have you sworn? Do you understand what it says? I have sworn. This needs to be a deep conviction to every single born-again believer in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ. You need to swear. Not dirty words. You need to swear. You give up all you have. You give your allegiance. You swear your allegiance to the Word of God. I have sworn and I will perform it. What are you supposed to perform? God's Word. Okay? You're supposed to, I swear as best I can, I will perform it. I will keep thy righteous judgments. How do I know how to perform it? Through study of God's word. How do I know what are the righteous judgments? It's through the study of God's word. It's keeping his light on my pathway, on your pathway. As you walk in this world, we just sang that song, right? Words of ancient words. How do you keep yourself in the way of righteousness? By knowing God through the written word of God. Do you know why the Lord allowed this here to be kept through all the years? Geez, what was that? It's 1,500 years, 66 books, 40 authors, right? Isn't that what it is? Did I say that backwards? I say it backwards all the time. 66 books, 40 authors, 1,500 years, and they all point to Christ. It all points to the crucifixion. What we call the Old Testament points to the crucifixion, to the next coming of Christ. The New Testament points back to that point. And the epistles of Paul, they tell us how to live, how to walk in this life as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's why we need this. That's why we got to have it. That's why we don't go outside without the knowledge of the Most High God. Because if you do, let me tell you, as the Lord told Cain, don't you know that Satan is like a lion crouching, waiting to devour you? How do you keep from being devoured? By being under the buckle of Christ. And there's only one way to do that, is to know this, apply to your heart, to your life. That little boy just busted my heart. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful child that is. I looked over there, and he's like, amen, man. Oh, great. Ah, what a great little thing. Oh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The blessings the student receives from the teacher through the study of the Word of God. To be a disciple of the Most High God. To be able to sit under His tutorship. To listen to what he has to say and to know how to apply these truths. Because you can know the truth and not know how to apply the truth and miss the effects of the blessings of truth in your life. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just reading. It's more than just memorizing. The understanding and knowledge, and we're going to look at that a lot here today. And I hate even saying this, but I'm going to say it. One of the best books about learning about God is Proverbs. Amen? Mm-hmm. And now when I say I don't like to say that, because Revelation is a good one. Genesis is a good one. Exodus, Leviticus, all right? Psalms, amen. How about Deuteronomy? Hey, oh, which I can't find a bad one. Jude, hey, all right. Ruth, Esther, all of them. All of them give you a picture of who God is and what He expects out of His people. See, this book here is not written for the lost. Do you understand that? This book is written for those who are called and set apart for the high calling of God. You can't take this if you are not born again and even begin to unwrap it. But when you do accept Jesus as your personal Savior, things become illuminated through His Word. You're guided by the Holy Spirit, praise God. Now, understanding this, that if you're getting spiritual direction that does not line up with this God, change your spirit. Change the spirit that you're listening to. Because there are other spirits in this world that are not from God. Alright, there are deceiving angels that have come and they give you something that sounds like truth, but it's not true. Even Satan appears as an angel of light. And so do his little cohorts, his minion, the fallen angels. So the only way we can tell the difference between the lie of Lucifer that appears to be the truth and the truth of God that is everlasting truth is through His Word. It's through the Word of God. We can't get it any other way. Do not just follow spirits. Right? You can follow a spirit straight to hell. Right. And he will appear to be right and righteous, but he's not. So you've got to learn how to check those things out. Psalm chapter 2. The whole thing, okay? The whole thing. Proverbs chapter 2. I said Psalm, but Proverbs chapter 2. Say amen when you get there, because I don't want to crank this truck without you. All right, I'll crank it, but I ain't driving off till you get there. Amen? You there?
Amen.
All right, praise God. My son, my children, my little ones, my church, all right? We are the offspring of the Most High God if you've been born again. This is who he's talking to. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Okay, if you'll do this, there's some things that will happen to you. All right, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, your knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All right, we can stop right there and preach for a month. All right? Listen to what he's saying. Listen to the blessings he wants to give you. If you will only do these things. Notice they all start with if. First he gets right to you, my son, my child. If you will, thou wilt receive the word. Are you willing to receive what the Bible has to say? Are you willing to receive it? It's not just hearing it, but it's receiving it. It's taking it in. It's changing your life, your emotions, your thoughts to this. Because I got news for you. My flesh does not agree with a lot of this. So my flesh must be wrong. But if I really want the depth of understanding of the knowledge of God, I must understand this as truth. It's not a high suggestion. This is truth. There is no other truth on this planet. This is it. Everything else is an illusion. And things... Yeah, we'll go on. Now, you hide the commandments in you. Put the commandments of God inside of you. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? Have you done that? Have you taken the word of God and put it on the inside of you that it becomes this thing that protects you from all unrighteousness? You take his commandments, you hide it inside of you. It will produce something in you. Oh, if you would incline your ear to wisdom. There is a wisdom of this world, and there's a wisdom from God. The wisdom of this world says, trust the government, I'm here to help. All right? Trust science.
Yeah, falsely so-called.
Amen. Right. Well, good science is in the Word of God. Anything outside, any science or scientist that leads you outside of the Word of God, any book that leads you outside of the Word of God, any wisdom of this world is not wisdom from God. It's a lie. And we have to have our ear, our heart inclined to true wisdom. And you can only find that through study of God's Word. It's not just reading it. It's not flipping pages. Well, I read 27 verses this week. Hey, guy, I read one word and it took me all week. Amen. I opened up the Bible and I found the number 6, and I chased it from Genesis to the Revelation. I understood it. I wanted more of it, right? And that is digging deeper. It's time to flip those rocks over to find the good nutrition that is in the Word of God. Today we talked about eating the bread of life. Eating Christ. This is what he's talking about, the study of God. It's eating him. It's consuming it and allowing it to grow into you into something that is unearthly. In fact, it's heavenly. And it changes you from darkness to light. You incline thine ear unto wisdom, real wisdom, and apply thy heart unto understanding. Do you know I read things in this book I do not understand? You know what I do when I do that? I pray. God, I don't understand this. Help me. Show me other places to understand this better. And if y'all were here Wednesday, I was just going through John. I even forget what chapter it was, on 11 or something like that somewhere. And I mistakenly went to a commentary to glean some things from a different aspect. But when I took the commentary and I compared it to the Word of God, the commentary was wrong. Amen. Now, this was a smart dude. Okay? He knew all, and y'all know I say this a lot, he knew where all the silent letters were hidden. Alright? He knew those things. He was way more intelligent than I do. You can tell. You understand. Yeah, you're right there with me. Duh, I am S-M-R-T. Smart. Anyhow.
We love you, Curtis.
And so in that incline to apply your heart to understand the things of God. Yea, if thou criest after wisdom. See, or knowledge. Have you... When you didn't understand, and you wanted to know it more, did you cry for it? Did you seek it with all of your heart? Did you open up not just where you were, but did you flat back some pages and flat forward some pages? Did you use your Bible as a tool to understand what knowledge really is? This is eternal life. To know God and the Son whom He has sent. The Lord just laid that on my heart again. That's John 17:3, right? Jesus said that. This is eternal life. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Son. That is eternal life. Oh, lift up your voice for understanding. In other words, you cry, you seek it out, you pray for it, you look for it, you ask God to give you more than what you have. Discernment is another name for knowledge there. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as a hidden treasure. If I told you that there is $50 million in diamonds outside this window right here, right? Oh, they just, I took them out this morning, I had $50 million in diamonds. I took them out and I slung them in the grass. Would you go looking for them? I didn't do that. Do not dig up the backyard. But if I did, would you go and look for it? Well, of course you would. Of course you would. Because you think there's something worthwhile there. Let me ask you, do you think there's something worthwhile here? Are you willing to dig a little deeper? Are you willing to give your heart, your life, your mind to study? Is studying the Word of God better than any stupid thing on the TV or Facebook or Twitter? Amen? Is this better than that? It's eternal. Amen? Hey, didn't Facebook say they were going to change their name to Mega or something like that?
They already did.
No, well, did they? See, I don't even know. We know where you're at. No. Yeah, I hear you. I'm sorry. I love you. This is real light on a very deep subject. And so, verse 5. Then thou shalt see. When you do those things, when you really apply to understand, when you really desire to know Him, and you seek for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, He allows you into the deeper vastness of the wisdom of God. But you got to want it bad enough to dig it up. You got to want it bad enough like it's treasure. You got to seek it. You got to dig it. You got to go for it. If it was treasure, I watched a thing a few years ago. A guy, he's looking for treasure on the bottom of the ocean. And he spent years going through shipwrecks and only finding bits and pieces of wood until he found it. Are you willing to spend years in the Word of God to find out what is? Amen? Spend years in the Word of God to find out what knowledge really is, understanding what it really is. If you'll seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Verse 5, here it is. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. See, in the church today, there ain't many folks who really understand the fear of the Lord. Remember a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I taught about the fear of the Lord? And there are folks here who said, well, I ain't going to fear God. God loves me. I ain't got nothing to fear. There's no fear in Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. All right? Well, the Bible tells you to fear God. And if you studied your Bible, you would. If you really studied your Bible, you would understand the awesomeness of God. Even Jesus said, don't fear a man who's able just to take away your life, but fear him who's able to take your life and cast your rotten soul into hell. I put rotten in there, if you didn't know. By the way, I paraphrase that. For what's that? For effect. For effect, yeah. So, all right, God will give you the fear if you seek for it. And you will find the knowledge of God. I only have like 80 of these to go through, so I need to hurry up. He layeth, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Oh, man. He layeth up sound wisdom for righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall...
Discretion.
I had a hard time reading that to myself. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Mm-hmm. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, mm-hmm. who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. Those ways, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in for they mess up their paths to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the strangers which flattereth with their words. All right, well, just if we will study the Word of God, if we will look for it, God's going to lay up for us, as it says in verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Where are you going to get wisdom from? Amen. It's not from public education. All right, no offense. I know we got some teachers here. I'm not trying to bust any bubbles here. But real wisdom is not see, spot, run. Right? That's learning how to read. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going to school and getting a high school. And there's nothing wrong with getting higher education.
Right, right.
But true wisdom comes from knowing God. And you can go to all these colleges, all these schools and stuff like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're looking that to be your all in all, then you have absolutely missed the holy Godship. Amen? And you're looking to the world for answers that only God has. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with getting educated. And I know I've put down educated people a lot because I am not one of them. And I feel like I need to stop doing that because we got folks that are, they went past the eighth grade here. I think there's two or three of them, right? Amen. And I have, and praise God for a saint in this church that laid it in my ear that may have been, may be offensive, you know, because they did put a lot of life and they do love God. Amen. So they're looking for the right wisdom and they're using the world's understanding of things. Or they're using God's understanding of things to decipher the wisdom that they learn from the world. Amen?
Sure.
And so anyhow, but God giveth wisdom out of his mouth, and cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of the mouth of the Lord, knowledge and understanding comes. All right? Where am I going to get understanding and knowledge? From the Bible. And God gives me the wisdom to understand the Bible. That's where those things come from. That's how it's boiled down. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, he layeth up. He's storing up wisdom for who? Starts at R and ends at righteous. All right? The righteous. If you are not righteous, if you're living with leaven in your life, sin in your life, the wisdom that he's storing up is not for you until you get the leaven out of your life.
Amen.
When you get right with God, he will give you more understanding, more wisdom, more way to appropriate the wisdom that God has for you. He doesn't want to give the pearl before swine. Okay? So he's asking you to come out of the mud pit, to cleanse your ways before God, that he can give you the fullness of what he has for you. You know that he has more. I don't care how much you have, God has more for you. And the only thing that's stopping you from receiving what God has is the sin that you love more than God. And he convinces you. He's the one who tells you those things. It's not me. I'm just pointing out in a very broad shotgun spray, but the Holy Spirit, as I'm saying this, I see God through the expression of your face saying, you know what he's talking about, you know what he's talking about, you know what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit's already piercing your heart in those areas. And I'm looking up here, and how do I know it? I'm looking at you. You know, I'm seeing those things. Ow, 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 ow. Stop stepping on my toes. No! I need to step on your toes. If I step on your toes, you'll start moving your feet. Amen? You start moving your feet, you'll get closer to God. It's my job. I'm a sheepdog. I'm nipping at your heels. Study the Word of God. Dig deeper into it. And He will give. He's laid up wisdom for you, for the righteous. He is the buckler. You know what buckler means? Shield. Who wants to have a shield? Amen? What's going to protect you from the fiery darts? His shield. Amen? Above all. Amen? Put on the shield. Right? Above all, you need to have Him as your shield. He's your buckler. He told Abraham, I am your buckler, your high reward. Let go of the things of the world that I can truly bless you. Let go of the wisdom of this world that I can give you real wisdom. Let go of the things that you see that I can open your eyes to a deeper reality of the massive awesomeness of God. Amen. Oh, we got to change our thinking around a little bit. I will get through this verse. He wants to keep your paths. Oh, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Who keeps your path? He does. God does. God keeps your path. He keeps your path as you have His word as a light for your path. So you still have a free will. You don't have to follow this word. You don't. There's blessings if you do, and there's cursings if you don't. God is not mocked, that what a man sows, he shall also reap. If you reap to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. Oh, but if you sow to the Spirit, look at the blessings you'll get. Not only everlasting life, praise God for that, but I'll get wisdom for this day. I'll get understanding for this day. I'll get holiness and righteousness for this day. And on top of that, I'll get everlasting life. And so when the world comes to me with questions, and I have the Word of God studied and prepared in my heart, when they ask it, I can give every man an answer. That may say, don't trust Fauci. Don't trust the government. Because all of those things are from the evil side. They're not from the God of light. They're not from God, the light. They're from this world. And we're not supposed to be seeking the things of this world. We're supposed to be seeking the things of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. And what? All these things. All this understanding and wisdom and everything that you need will be supplied for you. Notice it's need, not want. Amen. Because I want some things that are not needful for me. Amen. You may want some things that are not needful for you. But what you need, He will provide. He will be your shield. He will be your buckler. And look at what it says again in verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Did your brain just go splat against the inside of your skull? He will be your shield if you walk uprightly. Upright compared to who? Upright compared to me? Or upright compared to Joshua or Justin? Right? You might compare yourself to me and you look pretty good. When you compare yourself to what real righteousness is, your righteousness is like filthy rags. You ain't good for nothing. You need Christ. You need His word. He says, He's a shield for them that walk upright, that walk in a unleavened lifestyle. Cleansing out the leaven of your heart, how often? As often as it need be. Sometimes it's just once a day, but for me it's about, how many minutes are in a day? A lot. All of them. I need to always keep myself in check with God's word. I need to always be coming back to God's word. Is that thought right? Was that word right? Did I speak out of anger and not out of grace? Did I judge in my own opinion? Right? How about it, guys? Do you ever take your daily walk, your daily breath, and compare it to God's word and see if that's what God really wanted you to do?
Are you walking upright before God? I need improvement. How do I get improvement? Through studying God's Word. Through studying it, believing it, and applying it. As I study it, I apply it. And as I apply it, He grants me these things. Then thou shalt understand righteousness. Oh, amen. Okay, I've got to go back to verse 8 because I skipped. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of the saints. He keeps your path in judgment. I can discern what is right and what is wrong because I know God and I study His Word. He preserves my way. He keeps me. His Word is a light to my path. His Word. Now I need to do the other side of that song. I need to swear, promise God with all that is in me, I will perform the Word of God. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm not just going to think about it. I'm not just going to wish that I can do it. I'm going to discipline my life in such a way as I walk through this darkness, I will be a light. I will be different. I will be polished and scrubbed and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. And I'm going to walk as best as I can, holy and upright before God. Because I want the blessings of God, not just the promise of the kingdom. Praise God, I have that. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I got that. But in my daily life, in my daily breath, I must desire something more out of me because God expects something more out of me. Amen. And it's not my works that make me righteous before God. It's my heart's cry, my heart's desire to please God with whatever I do. Whatever you do. It's not hard. It's impossible. Amen? That's why you need Him to be your buckler and your shield. Verse 9, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment, yea, equity. I had to look equity up. I've lost it in my notes here. Thou shalt understand righteous judgment. Equity, here it is. The straight way, that's what equity means. I looked it up because it meant a lot to me. What's equity mean? The straight way. I will understand the straight way as I apply His Word to my personal life. Without understanding equity, I can't walk equitable. All right, yeah. Now, bad for a sixth grader. Amen? You know? I'm sorry. Straight way. It means evenness and with equality. It means knowing how to judge properly. Right? Knowing how to judge properly. He gives me every good path. Praise God. As you study the Word of God, as you apply God's Word, as you come to know Him, and as you're walking in this world, you're going to come to several different forks in the road. How am I going to know which is the right one? Amen. You better be having a life of prayer, and you better be studying your Word. God says, I will give you the right path. Well, let me explain this to you real quick. The right path normally is not the easy one. Amen. There's a broad path. Where's that lead? To destruction. There's a narrow way. Where's that lead? To everlasting life. A lot of people go the broad way. Only a few folks go the narrow way. You know why? Because the narrow way is hard. The narrow way means that I need to be properly prepared for the narrow way. I need a light to my path. Because it's narrow. I could fall off. I could easily go the wrong way. I could easily get lost. Then my two favorite words come up. But God. Amen. But God. We were talking, my wife let you know about the Pilgrim's Progress thing that's coming. I listen to the Pilgrim's Progress at least twice a year. I really enjoy that book. John Burnham? Bunyan. Yeah, like Paul Bunyan's brother, John. And so, anyhow, there's some characters in that book. There's the evangelist, all right? Then there's Christian.
And then there's other people that come along in Christian's life during this walk. And there's every time that Christian gets in a bad way, this dude by the name of Evangelist comes. Right? And he speaks to him and he shows him. You know what he does? He always points him back to the path. He always points him back to the way. He always says, look for the city of light. Go to the city of light. Get back on that narrow path that leads to righteousness. Don't be fooled. Don't get caught in the sea swamp of despair. How many folks get caught in the swamp of despair? You know how he got caught in the swamp of despair? He stopped looking for the city of light. And he went a different way. And he got caught in the swamp of despair. And it about killed him. He tells us there's only one way to get this burden, this monkey off your back, this burden off your back, and that's to stay on the way of righteousness, and sooner or later it will fall off. Folks, I'm so grateful to God that my burden is not mine anymore. I am no longer held by those things. I've been free, set free by Christ Jesus. Talking about the different ways in Proverbs 14:12 says this, that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It may look right to you, but if it does not line up with God's word, it will not lead you to righteousness. It will lead you to death. And I'm not just talking about a life death. I'm talking about a spiritual death, a spiritual damnation. There's a lot in that. So let's go there. It's Proverbs 14. It's not that far. We'll get back to Proverbs 2. Because in that, there's so much more. I mean, I picked out one little bit there. But there's so much in this. And all this is really, remember this sermon is all about the benefits of studying God's Word. This is the benefits, all right? And we'll start in verse 9 there. Oh no, we can't. Okay, all right.
One.
Okay, it's I only have 9 through 13 written here, and I picked out 12 to talk about. But this whole thing is so good. Amen. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Oh, come on, ladies. All right? I praise God for my wife.
Amen.
Because she fixes my mess so often. She really does. And she'll listen to this sermon. She'll say, did you mean to say that? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Right? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprighteousness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him, talking about God. In the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no ox are, the crib is clean, but much increase is the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto them that understand it. How do you get understanding? Through God. All right? Look at just that 1:6 right there. A scorner seeketh wisdom and finds it not. How many folks do you know that think they're wise in their own mind? Amen? I know so much, you can't teach me nothing.
Yep.
You're so ignorant. When you open your mouth, you just showed how ignorant you are. You know, you got to look for wisdom. And remember what it told us in the other Psalm 2, right? Psalm Proverb. They both start with P and they both sound different. Come on. And so anyhow. And he says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. Oh, okay. When the government or the science lies to you, go away from it. Go away from it. How many times have they changed their mind about stuff? All right? It's a million years. It's a billion years. It's 700 gazillion years.
Stop lying. It's 6 days. Yeah. Okay? 6 days and a day of rest. Right? That's all it was. It didn't take a million gazillion years for this stuff to happen. God spoke it, and guess what? It happened. Period. I ain't a real smart man, but I'm a faithful one. Amen? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and the stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even laughter in the heart is sorrowful, and the end of mirth is heaviness. The backslider in the heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. All right, it goes on and on. It's bowing out to this one simple fact: there is a way that seems right to man, and it's a foolish way. Right? You think that you know something? Let me tell you, you don't know half of what you think you know. Right. When we really study God's word, wisdom enters the heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to our soul. Okay, when we study righteousness and holiness from God's point of view, not from my point of view and not from the world's point of view, but when we study it from God's point of view, something changes. Understanding changes. So we can't just see this from one proverb, all right? As you study God's word, wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all these things, he will be your shield. He'll keep you on the path of righteousness. He always he allows us correct judgment. These are just some of the benefits of God, of studying God's word. Next week, because we ain't through, this is half of one page, okay? We haven't even finished Psalm chapter 2 yet, right? They're Proverbs. Yeah, one of those people. Proverbs. Yeah. There must be something Psalm that God's trying to get out of me. It's probably in the sermon here somewhere. Listen, God wants us to know him. And when we know him, we will know rightly how to divide what is right and what's wrong. When you know him, he gives you righteous and holy understanding of all things. He is the light in your life. Next week, I want to talk what Jesus said about light. You know, because unless you're studying God's word, applying God's word, you won't even know what light is. In fact, he warns us that there are people who think they have the light, but they really are darkness, and they don't even realize how deep that darkness is, because what they perceive as light is actually against God. But they think that it's light. How deep is that darkness that you live in darkness and you think that darkness is righteousness? Come on, church. Come on. There's more to it. Amen. There's just more to it. It's more to it than what you've been taught in your beginning classes of understanding God. He's deeper than you. He's deeper. He's wider. He's higher. He's mightier. But the thing is, with all those that he is, he's an open book. He's not hard to grasp if you look to grasp them. It really is simpler than you think. The problem is we think we know when we don't know at all. Anyhow, folks, I don't know any other way to tell you this. Study God's Word. Amen. Study it. And don't just study one small spot and say, ooh, I memorized my Awana project this week. No! And I'm not bugging out on Awana. Praise God that kids are learning His Word, okay? But there's more to God than memorization. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle. And the more of His Word you apply in your life, the more style you got. Amen? I love you. I have so much more to say. God has so much more to say. Amen? He says, pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, would
you? I thought you were okay.
Okay. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, Lord, where's your word say, Father, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Lord, we know that when we come to your word, you reveal to us, Lord, the hidden things of darkness. Mm-hmm. Lord, the things that are, Lord, an affront, an offense to you. Lord, we can walk in a path of light and fellowship with you, Lord, if we would simply turn to your word. Let it permeate every single facet of our lives. Break down, Lord, the walls and the hindrances and the snares and just the pits that we've even carried in our own hearts as Christians, Lord. Turn us to you, and Father, as these days grow darker, may we shine more and more a light to this world, and Lord, may we be that greater and greater light to that day when we join you in glory. Mm-hmm. And Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that I would not be ashamed in that day, Lord, but in the end, all, not just me, but all my brothers and sisters here would be, Lord, pleasing to you, and that you would look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. And I pray, Father, that bless us. Help us, Lord, to be a voice for you, Lord, and lead us by thy Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all do a study in